This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Johnny Cakes Auville. Bish Bucks.
Yeah, man.
What do you think about this? On Friday, I'm doing a book signing, Fredericksburg.
Okay.
4 to 6. When should I leave Gaithersburg?
Noon.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck to you, sir, heading down to Fredericksburg. Getting there won't be a problem. Getting back, you might as well just stay the night.
Actually, getting back, because I came from that area on a Friday night, people aren't heading back to D.C. The traffic is heading the other way on 95. It's getting there that's going to be the issue. All right, we've got Tim Doyle on our StreamYard link, so you can watch him on NBC Sports Washington. He's got a WrestleMania 6 shirt.
Man, I don't know exactly what WrestleMania we're on currently, but I know it's way past WrestleMania 6.
What's up, Tim?
You know, I'm 39 years old, so I know that the WrestleMania number is always hovering around my age, which I'm very happy to admit, guys. Yes, I dye my hair. I'll say it, JP. It might be something you look into.
Okay? It's
one of those things that you could instantly turn back time, like Cher. Right. You dye your hair, bam, you're young again. I mean, sometimes it doesn't look great. But it's an idea.
When did you start dying? Believe me, I've thought about it a lot. In fact, there's this, you know how Facebook knows what you are? There's this stupid soap that shows up all the time that says if you use it 3 times, your hair gets darker. I've been intrigued, but I haven't pulled the trigger.
Here's why. It's not growing in, like, correctly. It's growing in like holy walnuts for
right.
me.
Yes, so that's what I have.
It's gray, like, over here,
sure.
And then it's dark up here. So it doesn't look good. So I either go all gray, or I have to just dye the wings. I look like Ben Stiller in that movie when he's like, do it.
You have a mobster look, though. That could be cool. I mean, if you want to look like a mobster in 2022, you could pull off that look.
How often do you have to dye it, though?
I'm like every 6 weeks. Trust me, it is the worst half hour. And I leave the town I'm living in, because I don't want to see, like, Mrs. Sullivan next door, like, oh, my God, Timmy, what are you doing here? So I, like, drive 2 towns over so no one has to see me.
That's hilarious. Hey, all right, Tim, hey, I want to ask you about the Bulls. Now, I'm biased because my buddy, Chris Fleming, is the assistant coach there, and he's one of the bright offensive minds. He's one of the best offensive coordinators in the league. And when he was the interim coach, when Billy had COVID, he went undefeated. So I was telling all my guys, I said, Flem's going to get a head coaching
job. You're bragging about your boy.
Anyway, but how good?
How many years did you play with him at Richmond? You only went to Richmond for a year. So how much do you know this guy?
I've known him for years. I've known him since 94. Anyway, so how good are the Bulls? Now, Levine's injury could have been a lot worse. I don't know when he'll be back, but there's no structural damage. But right now, they've lost 4 straight, a lot because of the schedule and Zach's out. But how good do you think this Bulls team is, and what are they missing?
I think that they're missing guys on the bench. You know, when they go to their bench right now, it's kind of a head-scratcher. Right. Caruso, you know, the white guy with the crazy headband, like, he gives them great energy off the bench, and he's a winner, but he's been banged up as of late. I think that if I had to describe where I think the Bulls are at, They're one of the best four teams in the East. And I think the East is a four-horse race. That does not include the 76ers yet. Now, 76ers go out and get Lillard. All right, now they have to be in the conversation. But I think the East right now is the Nets, Milwaukee, the Bulls, and Miami. Those four teams, in my eyes, are the clear-cut teams in the Eastern Conference. Now, the Wizards have had an amazing year just overachieving. And, you know, looking at their roster, I want to trade Bradley Beal because I think value right now is sky high, and you can go start building for the future, and you know, you go get a draft pick, you get some young guys. Obviously, he's a great scorer, and he sells a lot of tickets, and this team is winning, so it's hard to do, but you got to look at it from the other standpoint, like, all right, eighth in the Eastern Conference, like, the value is never going to be higher than right now, but the Bulls went out and they got DeMar DeRozan, and that was because of their relationship he had with new Bulls GM Mark Eversley, who's a Raptors guy. So one thing I learned in television and radio, and you guys know this because you've kept the same job for 100 years, be nice to everybody because you're going to see the same people on the way up as you do on the way down, and that applies to all businesses. But that relationship with Eversley and DeRozan, once they got DeMar, he's made Zach LaVine better just because he's taught him how to play at a smarter level, at a higher level. So this Bulls team's really good. If they have one weakness, it's their bench.
Yeah. I'm wondering if a guy like Jeremy Grant will be dealt. He's rehabbing now with an injury, but, I mean, he's Detroit's 10 wins. I mean, he's a pretty good player. He can give you 20 a game. Is he one of the names you think could be dealt before the deadline?
Absolutely. I mean, he's a guy who's really developed from an offensive standpoint. Like, he was a guy who used to get you 8-10 points a game. Now he's getting you almost 20 a game. So his development has really skyrocketed. It's sad for me, guys, because the Pistons were the team I grew up with. Because little known fact, my father played for the Pistons, all right? Four games, and God, he got so many miles out of these freaking four games. His whole life, like, we would go to camp and stuff, he'd go, raise your hand if you played in the NBA. You know, he could be the only guy that raised his hand. But in 1986, the Boston Celtics went 41-1 at home. We're big Bird fans. So we decide, I mean, this is how dumb we were, to drive up to Boston where you get tickets day up. Celtics home game, they had Walt and McHale. They won the title that year, beat Houston. So we get there, and the tickets are like, $300, which at the time the Doyle household did not have. So he goes up to the front ticket desk, and he's like, you know, I played in the NBA. Now, they got to remember, no computers at the time. So this guy takes out, like, a Bible of basketball. Like, he just plops it down. He starts, like, opening, combing through the pages. And he gets the DOI. He's like, Dan Doyle, four games, huh? And he, like, totally neutered him in front of all of us. And he was like, all right, you guys get standing room only tickets. So I don't really like rooting against the Pistons because he did receive a check when they won the title back-to-back years. I don't know why. But,
wow.
Yeah, I do hold them close to my heart, guys.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just think that Grant will be dealt. What about Simmons in Philly? The only reason he doesn't want to play is because he doesn't like Joel Embiid. And Embiid is not going anywhere. But Simmons is psycho. I mean, they want to get rid of him, but they want a top 30 player, or, you know, certainly a combination of two or three players. They want legitimate, at least one star for Ben Simmons. And he's getting fined every single day. And, you know, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know who's in his ear. He should be playing somewhere, making all that money. But Philly wants to deal him, Tim, but there aren't that many takers.
Yeah, I'll throw this back at you, okay? You're a general manager of the team. You're making $1 million a year. You live in a $1.8 million house. Uh-huh. Are you going to be the general manager that's trying to sell ownership? Hey, let's bring in Ben Simmons. Like, right. That could be your butt, you know what I mean? Like, if that don't work out, like, that's what gets GMs fired. So if I'm a general manager, I'm like, I kind of like this house. Like, I don't think we need Ben Simmons that bad. Like, I'm just speaking real here. Obviously, the guy's an amazing talent. And NBA personnel tell me he's the best on-ball defender in the entire NBA. Obviously, he can pass, but we all know he can't shoot. But, man, that attitude, I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole. The team that I see naturally fitting in is ship him out to Portland. They stink. They're in a rebuild. You get Lillard or McCollum, and then you make a push. Like, for Philly, the window's closing. Like, Embiid's not going to be walking around well when he's 55 years old. Like, big dogs don't age well. Like, his window is getting closer, and like it's closing every single day. So if I'm Philly, I'm trying to make the move. But if I'm a general manager, guys, I'm not touching him.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw your son was 6-0 this weekend.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Are you raising a D-gen? I kind of doing this with my son. My son's going to turn 15 next month, and he's been playing like fantasy football and making like wagers in Jason's pools since he was like 8.
I mean, I'm a big mush. Chicago Joe Doyle's killing it. I need to get some of his mojo.
I appreciate you saying that. You know, Joe's been through a lot. He had open heart surgery 15 months ago. It was 50-50 if he would live. And raising a kid that has physical challenges, you know, I grew up such a Neanderthal where sports was all that mattered. And, you know, we never talked about our feelings. And I feel for dads out there that have kids that are physically challenged because men don't really know how to express themselves. Now, I grew up in a household where we learned how to gamble at a very young age, good or bad or whatever. My wife's still pissed at it. But and it was a way for me to bond with him.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give him that confidence to speak up and go on camera. And he loves doing the picks. And even you guys just mentioned means a lot to me because I went through my own struggles with him. And you know, it's a daily thing of just because there's no playbook on raising a kid like that. So he's an amazing kid, and he does some things that make me laugh. I put him to bed on Monday night, and he's laying in bed, his eyes are closed, and I said, "All right, buddy, I love you." He goes, "How are the Rams doing?" I said, "They're 21-0.
There you go.
Hey, I hope Chicago Joe had the Wolverines over the Terps last night. It's been a rough go for Maryland in the Big Ten. Their only win over your Northwestern Wildcats.
Yeah, I played with two guys in high school that went to Maryland. I think you guys know this. I played with Drew Nicholas, who obviously made the famous shot against UNC Wilmington.
Yep.
But I also played with Mike Grinnan. Now, you look at Mike Grinnan's stats, he only scored 48 career points. But he had one of the more special moments I ever remember in Terrapin history. They announced him out on Midnight Madness. And Mike, let's just say, got me into drinking tequila and Cokes for like 5 years. I don't know why Mike drank that. But I was watching Midnight Madness, and they, who's the last one to be announced out? And they said, the mayor of College Park, the only player in Terrapin history to win a national championship and an ACC title. And I'm watching this, like, drinking a Bud Light. I'm like, God, Grinnan's killing it. He comes out, he does, like, the Hulk Hogan and stuff. And they throw him the ball, and he goes down and misses the dunk. And I'm like, yep, that's Grinnan, all right. I go, that's Mike. So it's sad to see Maryland basketball like that. Because that area, and this is hard for me to say, that area of the country is the hotbed of basketball in the United States.
Yeah.
That Baltimore, D.C. area, that's the best area for basketball in the whole U.S. So you win that area, and you're going to have a pretty good team every year.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have a new staff next year. We had Danny on right after Turge was let go, and I like Danny Manning. I mean, he's a fantastic player, but they're going to have a new staff. And the assistant coach was suspended because he was getting the hookers. I mean, it's just been a disastrous year for the Terps. I don't know. I've heard some names, but, I mean, who makes sense to kind of take over? Ed Cooley seems like a pretty hot name. I've also heard, you know, Tommy Amaker and Willard from Seton Hall. Is there a name out there you think would be good to replace him?
Yeah, that Tommy Amaker is interesting. Now, he struggled to win at big programs like Seton Hall and Michigan, but he has roots there. Let's be honest. Do you know who's going to win now in college basketball? Whoever has the biggest checkbook. Because now at the NIL, what are you selling the kids?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to sell them, you know, $25,000. You know why Memphis has great players right now? Because they're paying them. And it's legal. So I know it might be difficult for the athletic program there at Maryland to kind of recognize that, but you see these schools having partnerships with sports betting websites now. So let's just call it what it is. We all grew up watching it as an amateur sport. It's not that anymore. So if Maryland wants to win, they have the best talent in the United States right in their backyard. So you know what they have to start doing? Paying them. And you know what they were probably doing when they were winning? Paying them. So, like, let's just be honest. Just call it this, boys. Like, you know, like, they were doing that before it was legal. So, like, let's just embrace it and go out there because they got a great fan base. They have amazing history. Obviously, they got relationships throughout the board with all the shoe brands that matter throughout the country. So, you know, open up that checkbook and you're going to have pretty good teams.
Yeah, free agency. Hey, real quick, getting back to Beal. He's making $34 million this year. Next year on a player option, it's $36.4 million. Then he's a UFA. Do you think that they will deal him this year or will they bring
him? I don't think they're going to deal him. If I was the general manager, I would deal him. And it's not because he's, you know, a deterrent to your team. This guy's awesome. There's no other way to say it. The points are down this year. He's averaging about 23 a game. But we're seeing signs of life with other guys. You know, Kuzma's wearing the weird sweaters, but, man, he had a great stretch of games. Like, I like Dinwiddie. I think he can go get you 19 points a game. Harrell's been a great pickup. Like, you take one step back for potentially three steps forward. And then when Beal leaves, other guys are going to start spreading their wings. Like, Kuzma went on that run when Beal was out. So you start developing other players. You know, the Beal Wall experience was fun to watch, but you don't want to end up like Portland. Like, Portland's screwed right now. Like, it was great. It was fun. They're scoring points. All right, it's over. So you want to get out in the NBA and start retooling. But, you know, Unseld's done an amazing job. They're a great story. So I can't see them kind of losing the fan base by trading their best player. But if I was the GM, I would.
Tim, what's the story with your white shoe behind you? I'm like, looking at your setup. Like, why the white kick there?
So this is obviously made famous by Cousin Eddie in the movie Vacation. Okay,
right, there
so
you go.
My dad would wear these on like holidays and stuff, and you know, as a kid, you think they're cool. So then he bought me a pair. It was like, you know, father to son, like, hey, I got you something you always wanted. So like, I was thinking it was like a car, or maybe like $10,000. He got me the white shoes. So it's really just to honor him. And so, yeah, it is kind of funky. You guys ever wear anything like this?
No, I couldn't do it. You'd have to pay me.
Maybe on Halloween, but that's
hey, how about when you go to your book signing, JP, you wear these to be able to place down.
I'm guessing they're a little bit bigger than 11.5, which is my size.
You know,
what size shoe does Tim Doyle wear?
You know, Tim Doyle wears a 14. I remember 14. When I met my wife, I said, do not get your hopes up, buddy.
That's hilarious.
We should go out with that. Tim, man, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you soon. That's
right,
Tim
bro.
Doyle.
See you guys.
See you, man. He's one of my favorites.
He's great. He's awesome. His kid's on a freaking heater, too.
Yeah,
man.
Give me some winners.
Good for Chicago Joe. I need some help.
I had a terrible night last night. I couldn't pick any winners in college hoops. Unbelievable.
You're so jelly of 6-0.
Oh, 6-0. What is that like?
Right, we'll be right back. Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Of course, February 2nd is the name change reveal. So we're within 2 weeks of that. Huge news for the Washington football team franchise. But probably the biggest thing is who's going to be their quarterback next year. Let's be real. That's the most important thing in terms of wins and losses. Coach Rivera has talked about it when he was doing interviews throughout the season on this show, talked about finding a franchise quarterback. We all know it's not Taylor Heineke. EB, the biggest flag waver for Taylor Heineke. Even he would concede.
Yeah.
Heineke's not the guy.
No.
So they have to do something at quarterback. And yesterday we talked to Mike Jones from USA Today about that. And here's what he said about Coach Rivera.
I think you've got to get a veteran right now if you're trying to take steps forward, because you're Ron Rivera. You messed up. You should have gotten somebody in the draft this year right here to be developing, so then you could turn it over to him next year. Basically, they kind of, you know, wasted a year by being complacent because they thought that a game manager, and he said that in training camp. I sat down with him. I said, why didn't you draft somebody? Why didn't you get somebody else? He said, well, I really felt like we just needed a really good game manager.
Are any of these guys game managers that are still left in the playoffs?
Maybe Ryan Tannehill?
I don't think so.
He's better than a game manager.
I mean, although I've heard B. Mitch make a good point. He says it all the time. Aaron Rodgers is a game manager. Tom Brady's a game manager. But they're also difference makers, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're game managers, but on another level.
Correct.
Because when you need them to make big throws in key spots, they can do it.
Right. Find me a game manager like Tom Brady who threw for 43 touchdowns
right.
as a 44-year-old man.
Yeah.
I, I think that's better than a game manager. But look, everybody has – a lot of people think that's a derisive term. I think if you're a good game manager, you could throw 30-plus touchdowns. There's nothing wrong with being labeled a game manager.
But yeah. Here's the question.
I think different coaches have different definitions for that term.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's the question. So – and I think we agree with Mike Jones who says Rivera wasted a year.
Totally.
If not 2 years. Okay? So he's going into year three, needs a quarterback. Do you trust Rivera and the Martys and this organization to make the right move this offseason? If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. I'll answer first.
What's the right move?
I do not trust them to make the right move because – The track record is they haven't made the right move, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, hindsight is 20/20. I get it, but they could have drafted Justin Herbert. They didn't. So that tells me their scouting staff missed on Herbert. Because even if Chase Young had a better season this year than last year when he won Rookie of the Year, knowing what we know now about Herbert and how he's developed, you would take Herbert 100 times out of 100 over Chase Young.
Yeah.
Yes, and you so would. I can't trust that scouting staff organization that whiffed on Herbert.
Well, as soon as Ron and the staff saw the dumpster fire at quarterback with Haskins, Alex Smith, who am I missing?
Allen.
Kyle Allen.
Yep. Once
they saw what they were not capable of in year one, they shouldn't have been on the mindset that, well, we just need a Ryan Fitzpatrick type. That's going to get us through. They should have moved up in the draft last year, and I know the hindsight's 20/20. It's easy to say this now. But they should have had their guy in place. I agree with Mike Jones, so that going into year three, that guy has some experience if you're going to go the rookie route.
Okay, but that's
now
the
past.
Do you trust them to do the right thing and get it right this offseason, Cakes?
Well, what is getting it right?
Not 100%.
We don't know.
No, here's my response to that. They're going to make a move.
Yes.
But it might not be the right move, but they're going to think it's the right move. They're going to do everything in their power to make the right move, but it might not work out. It probably won't work out.
Okay, so then the answer is no.
If
you don't have trust in Coach Rivera or the organization.
Well, I just think that the options are limited.
Yeah, they are limited, and if it doesn't work out...
There are only so many good players out there at that position that you can acquire.
If it doesn't work out, it effectively dooms Rivera's tenure here.
I mean, it's not like there's 10 free agents and 5 or 6 of them are really good, and you can just kind of pluck them.
Well, here's the thing. You don't know that. You don't know what's going to work. It's Ron's job, and it's the front office's job to know what we don't know.
Correct.
Right, that's why they're paid the big bucks. They're paid the big bucks to find that one QB in the draft that's going to hit. Mm-hmm. Or the one free agent that's a perfect fit for his offense that can get him into the playoffs.
Well, there's no free agent out there.
Yeah, there's no free agent.
I'm pretty positive on that one.
Well, whatever it is.
Or in a trade, maybe, yeah. Look, I know. They're going to make a move. I just don't know and don't think that it will work just based on the track record.
But JP's right. They're 0-2.
They're 0-2. And the time for half measures and bridge quarterbacks is over. Like, they shouldn't even be considering guys like Mitch Trubisky, Teddy Bridgewater, like the guys of that.
Right, because that's treading water at best.
Andy Dalton. Guys like that, they should be in the conversation for 3 seconds, and then you move on and say, we have to aim higher. We have to do better.
They're FUBAR, really. They really should
They're
be
on
FUBAR
the
for you.
Put them on the FUBAR
is
list,
Jameis Winston, would he be FUBAR for you if you're the Washington football team?
Yeah. Of course.
Probably.
Didn't he have actually a really good touchdown interception ratio this year in the few games he played?
I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but they weren't going to make the playoffs with Jameis Winston.
I just don't know if Ron's going to entrust what's left of his future here in Washington to Jameis Winston.
14 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Wait, hold on. Didn't the Saints have a silly record when Jameis got hurt? I thought they were like 5-2 or something, and then they fell off a cliff.
I know, but he would turn into Jameis Winston.
Well, that's unfair. He was playing pretty well.
Well, he's got an unbelievable running back. I wouldn't have any faith that they would make the playoffs.
So it sounds like you guys are all basically Deshaun Watson or draft a quarterback. Because you don't like anybody else.
No, because Jimmy G, if he's available, I like him.
And I think if you can make a play for a Derek Carr, you have to explore that.
I just don't think that's a real possibility. Jimmy G is more of a possibility than Carr because if the Raiders trade Carr, they're in the same spot the Redskins are.
Right.
I mean, Jimmy G, at least there's a plan behind him.
You mean the Commanders.
I'm sorry. At least with San Francisco, there's a guy in place behind him that they want to groom, that they gave up a lot for him. But the Raiders, I don't know why they would do that. The guy just led him to the playoffs.
800-636-1067. So none of us really trust Ron or the organization to get it right.
I'd say it's my trust in them is slightly more than a coin flip.
I think
it's like 55%.
I think this is what they're going to do. I don't think they're going to go out and get a Jimmy G or a Carr. I think that they're going to draft a quarterback at 11, whether it's the top guy on their board or not. They're going to draft one. Taylor's going to be the guy. Maybe they bring in a Mariota type to battle for that starting position. And Heineke's your starter until they feel the rookie's ready. That's what I believe they're going to
do. By the way, Kuiper just had his first draft board today. I think it was today.
Uh-huh.
And on GetUp on ESPN, he said no quarterbacks, his prediction, no quarterbacks taken in the top 10. And at number 11, the Washington football team select the first quarterback, Malik Willis. Ooh, that's the Kuiper draft board.
That's a project.
Right now.
That's a big-time project.
He seems like Trey Lance version 2.0. And look, if you want that dual-threat quarterback and you think you can mold him into something and rein him in and develop his passing, and you're willing to have two seasons to do it, go through some growing pains, and that's your guy, I just think that's a bold pick at 11.
Look, I'll admit maybe it's unfair that I'm not trusting Ron and the two Martys to get it right, because it is hindsight, but your job is to hit.
Of course.
And they whiffed on Justin Herbert. If you had Justin Herbert here, you're competitive for the next decade. Doesn't mean you're going to be in the playoffs.
I think that's
a
little
shot.
I think that's a little unfair.
I admit it's unfair.
What?
But it's two seasons that they would be in the playoffs.
Well, two seasons of not addressing the position.
Well, number one, that's an assumption. And no, everyone was very excited for Chase after the first year, after he won the NFL Rookie of the Year.
I know.
Correct. Then why don't you kill them
for not jumping up to number one for taking Joe Burrow? I mean, it's a little.
Well, you know what? Because Cincinnati, there was probably no trade.
I guarantee you, I could find a Pro Football Talk article saying they're shopping the number one pick.
Well, I don't know. You would have had to have given them a lot.
I know, but I'm just saying that doing revisionist history for every single draft is such a slippery slope.
But I know, you could do that for every GM.
You could do that for every single GM in every single round.
I don't know that you can do that.
I guarantee you could do that. You go look at Eric DaCosta's draft, and you could go find player selected right after that would fit the Raven system, and Eric is considered this god amongst GMs.
Okay, but in terms of the most important position, a position which they needed to find the right guy, they chose to give Haskins a shot and play it out in year one. It was dreadful.
But they didn't know that Haskins was as bad as he was.
And then in year two, they again bypassed it for going with a game manager type in Fitzpatrick. So now they're in this really kind of a desperate situation.
And hey, look, maybe
it's a desperate situation.
Oh,
they can't
desperate.
Not address the position.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, they couldn't, Jason, it's impossible for them to just say, we're just going to roll it back with Heineke and Allen.
Oh, it's no way
no,
that'll
that's,
happen.
That is impossible. Of course. But we know that.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they can't address the situation, but you're holding every single round. Like, why are you not crushing them for not taking Davis Mills in the third round? You know what I mean? You're crushing them for what they can't, what they do and what they don't do in each round of the draft.
Well, obviously, if you could predict the future, they would have taken Herbert.
But JP's crushing
because
the organization
job,
because they can't predict the future.
Their job is to identify quarterbacks that can be differences, right?
Yep.
And there was a guy there that was available who's proven to be a difference.
Now,
the Chargers got it right.
I know, but my guess is there's a guy in every single round that you can identify was the right pick.
Give me the other quarterbacks in the last 2 years they had a chance to take that could have changed the trajectory
of the franchise. Joe Burrow. They could have taken Joe Burrow.
Well, they actually couldn't because they had the number two pick.
No, why don't you blame them for not trading up to draft Joe Burrow?
I don't think
that's not a realistic scenario.
There's no
way the
Bengals.
The realistic scenario is they had the number two pick and there was a quarterback available that they chose not to take.
I don't understand what Valdez is saying. He's comparing Davis Mills to Justin Herbert. I don't understand what he's saying.
I'm just saying it's an unfair way to grade these GMs by looking at every single round of every single draft and saying, you should have taken this player here.
I'm not looking at every round. Well, I'm looking at one pick.
Look, yeah, but again,
yeah, when you had Chase a defensive Young. Player of the year.
Hold on. I've been listening to JP. JP has never fawned over Chase Young. He hasn't. In fact, his rookie year, JP pointed out all the time where he wasn't an impact player.
But I'm complaining about the fact that as soon as they drafted Chase Young, I'll find the audio where he's cheerleading the pick, where he has nothing to say about Justin Herbert.
I didn't know that Justin Herbert was going to be selling.
It's not JP's job. It's Ron Rivera's job.
You act like they're not trying.
They obviously felt
that's
like...
That's the point. Hold on. The question is, do you trust the guy? And I'm saying I don't trust him because they whiffed on Herbert.
Look, they obviously they felt that Chase Young was a better overall player on their board than Justin Herbert.
And they probably weren't even considering Herbert because they mistakenly thought that they could coach up Haskins.
Yeah, they botched it.
They completely screwed the Haskins pick. And I don't even put that on the front office. That's a Dan Snyder pick. Dan Snyder put his stupid little head in the room and said, pick Dwayne Haskins because he went to high school with my kid and I know who he is.
But
you said how idiotic that is.
But you prefaced it by saying mistakenly, okay, and that mistake is on Rivera.
Look, I'm not going to kill it. I'm not going to kill a
look, I don't
coach
know what we're arguing
or a
here.
Front office for giving a number 15 overall pick 2 years.
Look, I don't know what we're arguing. We're kind of all agreeing that they are desperate for a quarterback. The question is, how are they going to go out and get that guy?
And do you trust them to do the right thing? Maybe Valdez. So you disagree. Basically, Jason, John, and I all don't trust the organization to get it right. Do you believe they'll get it right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Let's go to Rod, D.C. Rod, you're on with the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Man, so first I'd like to say, right, it's not our job, right? Ron has his job to scout talent and everything. I did not want Chase Young in that Big Ten championship against Wisconsin. The left tackle for Wisconsin did exactly what left tackles are doing right now to Chase Young. They're taking him out to play. He's never in the play. It's 10-on-11 on the defense when Chase Young is on the field. Secondly, I would have taken Justin Herbert. We should have saw that, right? Even Davis Mills. We were talking about Davis Mills in the draft. We were talking about him. We didn't take him.
So you don't trust them to get it right this offseason?
I don't trust them at all. I never trust them. It sucks. We don't pick well, and we don't develop well. It sucks. And we as fans, like, we kind of have like a loser mentality, but it's what we're accustomed to. And we have so much hope. We have so much hope that they'll finally get it right, and they do it every time. Like, Jamin Davis, I don't know where he was this year. I don't know where he was.
All right, yeah. I get it, Rod. Thanks for your call.
He was MIA. Yep.
We'll take more of your calls next at 800-636-1067. Do you trust Ron Rivera and this organization to get it right this offseason at QB?
Hey, friends, the bitter cold Washington winter weather is officially here. Can your home's heating system keep up? Assure your family's comfort all season long by calling the five-star heating experts at Crop Metcalf. A Crop Metcalf five-star technician has the top-notch training and experience to properly fix and maintain your system and can catch potential problems before you're left out in the cold. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up at the end of the show, we'll give you a chance to win some Zach Brown tickets. They're coming to Jiffy Lube Live. But right now, We're talking about the organization, the Washington football team, whether you trust them to get it right this offseason at quarterback. Valdez in the minority. He actually trusts them to get it right.
I don't think Ron has really shown that poor decision making when it's come down to it. I mean, he drafted Cam Newton to be the franchise quarterback in Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He addressed the quarterback situation this past offseason. Now, it's not his fault that Fitzpatrick got hurt, but we don't know what happened there. He had the foresight to bring Heinicke back after basically one game.
I think if Fitz had played, you know, every single game, they would have been about the same record.
He brought a backup in, and the team was competitive and fighting for a wild card spot. I think that's a testament to showing some skill.
Well, it comes down to
picking a quarterback.
It just comes down to drafting Chase Young over Herbert, and I think a lot of people would have done that.
Especially if
you needed their job is to stand out.
What Valdez is upset with, their job is to know the guy who could be your franchise quarterback. They clearly didn't believe it was Herbert, and in that case, they're wrong. So based on the body of work here in Washington in the two seasons where, to me, they've whiffed at getting the right thing done at quarterback, I can't say that I trust him. And here's my point about quarterback. I'll just leave you with this. T.J. Watt was unbelievable this year, right? Tied Michael Strahan's sack record. The team barely finished above 500. Why? Because they need a new quarterback. Big Ben was washed this year. Okay? T.J. Watt doesn't win games by himself. Quarterbacks do. So when there's a guy who can be a difference maker, you got to get him. Will they get him this year? Maybe. I'm like Cakes. I lean towards mistrust. I don't 100% think that they're going to botch it, but I would probably be 55-45 that they won't get it right.
There were reports yesterday that Mason Rudolph is going to be the starter in 2022. And now there's a lot of time between now and the start of the 2022 season. But I would be shocked if the Steelers are going to go into their next season with Mason Rudolph.
Yeah,
that's just a tall guy.
I guess this is already out there. But I was just talking to J.P. Finley, and he was talking to someone on the phone. But remember when we had Ron on in his last interview after Week 18? And I asked him if he was going to be – actually, it was just Bickle and I. I don't know. Maybe Cakes was there. But I asked him if he was going to be in New York for the rebranding release. You remember
I think
me?
That might have been just me and you. But he said no, right?
He said no.
Yeah.
And he's he was
going
to –
Plus,
gonna,
they're doing
and,
it
and
in Washington now.
Okay. So he but at the time, it was scheduled for – well, we thought it was scheduled for New York City.
Right.
On the NBC
he said he was
studio.
Going to, like, All-Star games.
Right. He was going to go to Senior Bowl.
Right.
But now, apparently, he's not going to the Senior Bowl because he's going to be at the rebranding release.
Which is at FedEx, I think.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
I know they're having a party at FedEx a couple days after they announce it, but yeah. I thought that they were going to be in New York.
I think they might be doing the today announcement from FedEx.
Okay.
Let's go to Jim and Tyson. He's an optimist.
Don't you want your head coach at the Senior Bowl?
Yes.
Scouting quarterbacks?
Yes. Especially if he makes the ultimate decision, which he has made clear that he does.
He should have said, F that. I'm not, Jason, you handle it. I'm going to mobile.
And you're desperate for a quarterback that's gonna save your tenure here in Washington? Yes.
And by the way, I know it's Mobile. I was kidding. It's Mobile.
Skipping the rebrand.
All right, Jim, what's up?
I am a realist, so I am an optimist here. One, I think you guys established really well what is the plan. The plan is you've got Taylor Heinicke. 20-12 this past year. Question is, a couple of you guys mentioned, do you get a Mariota? My bad. But, you know, so you established it might get a Mariota. I'm not so concerned about that. I think Heinicke is proficient at what you do. One thing to remember, 20% of overall first-round quarterbacks never do 3,400 yards and 24 touchdowns. 47% of first-round quarterbacks never do 24 touchdowns, 3,400.
You're right.
But you
still got to take a chance if you're desperate.
Well, I just wanted to finish. What I was going to say is, of course they're going to select, I believe, and you guys might say, oh, there's no of course. I believe they're going to select a quarterback in the first round, provided that Kuiper is correct. I absolutely believe it. But I think we got to be realistic. There's no guarantee, absolutely no guarantee, first-rounder even done well will succeed.
We understand that.
There's always risk involved, but that can't stop you from making a pick.
They haven't taken a swing the last 2 years. That's the point. They decided to evaluate Haskins. That lasted, what, four games before he went to the bench?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then they took Chase Young.
Well, by the way, in that draft, you obviously could kill Washington.
They took Jamie Davis this year.
You can kill the Lions because they were going nowhere with Stafford and ultimately traded him.
Yeah.
And they took Jeff Okuda. The Giants took Andrew Thomas because they thought Daniel Jones was going to be a world beater. And then the Dolphins took Tua instead of Herbert. And, you know, Herbert's obviously better than Tua. So you can kill a lot of teams in that particular draft.
All right, let's go to Richard. You got like 30 seconds. What's up, Richard?
Hey, buddy. I'm going to tell you what I do. If he's going to the Senior Bowl, that's where he needs to be at. And the reason why I say that is because you do have some good young quarterbacks. This kid out of Nevada. You got Matt Carroll. You got good quarterbacks. Carroll. You know, we can find a good quarterback. We just got to recognize the gem. Because I'm not trading my number one pick. I'm going to pick the quarterback that I need, and I'll have a bridge. I kind of like the guy that we got from New England because he's a pocket quarterback. And he knows how to get the ball all, you know, earlier. So that's what I'm going to do. But the number one thing is go get Bobby Wagner. You say you don't know what your future is. You need a quarterback on that defense.
All right, Richard, you're all over the place. Now you got to get Bobby Wagner.
And he wants Garrett Gilbert to be your starter.
Right. That's great.
And for Matt Carroll.
Hey, right now, callers 10 and 11 at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with tickets to the Zach Brown Band. Jiffy Lube Live, August 27, 2022. It's all courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets go on sale on Friday, January 21st, 10 a.m. That's all at livenation.com. All right, boys, we got to get out of here. We'll be talking about this all offseason. What are they going to do at quarterback? For Bish Cakes, I'm JP. Be Mitch and Finley up next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.